Good morning. It's Thursday, April 18th. I'm Yasmin Khan, in for Shamita Basu. This is Apple News Today. On today's show, finger-pointing over the lack of aid to Gaza continues. A teenager describes life after surviving a shooting, and how junk from space made its way to Florida. But first, the endeavor by House Republicans to impeach Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas has come to an end. In the Senate yesterday, lawmakers voted to reject impeachment charges against Mayorkas, deeming them unconstitutional. GOP lawmakers accused Mayorkas of failing to enforce immigration laws, making false statements to Congress, and obstructing oversight into DHS policies, all charges that he denied. Some Republican lawmakers protested the outcome of the vote. The White House and Democrats say this Republican effort was a remarkable misuse of impeachment powers. In the Arizona legislature, House Republicans yesterday blocked attempts twice to repeal a near-total ban on abortion from the 1800s, a law that predates the state and women's right to vote. Since the Arizona Supreme Court revived the law, House Democrats there have vowed to repeal it and keep trying. Here's Representative Oscar De Los Santos.
We are committed to doing everything we can to protect reproductive freedom, to save lives, and to repeal this abhorrent 1864 law that was written at a time when the age of consent was 10.
A number of Republicans in the Arizona Senate crossed over to vote with Democrats yesterday, kickstarting the process to pass a repeal on the abortion ban. But the Arizona Republic reports there was no appetite among most House Republicans to take that action. The law bans abortions at any stage of pregnancy, with exceptions only for the life of the person who's pregnant. Doctors and anyone who aids in an abortion could face 3 to 5 years in prison. And in sports, the NBA doled out its harshest punishment in decades for Toronto Raptors player Jontay Porter. He was banned for life yesterday for betting on NBA games and sharing inside information. He's the first player to be expelled since the 1950s. The NBA says Porter privately told a sports bettor he was injured and removed himself from a game to control bets placed on his individual performance. And the NBA says he placed his own wagers on NBA games. Porter has not commented on the league's investigation since it began. This week, Israel and the United Nations are trading blame for the delay in getting humanitarian aid into Gaza. More than 6 months into the war, experts say there hasn't been nearly enough aid getting into the enclave. Before October 7th, Israel allowed about 500 trucks of supplies into Gaza per day. Throughout the war, the average has been around 100, according to the Washington Post, and people are starving. Under mounting international pressure, Israel has ramped up the number of trucks allowed in recent days. Then, yesterday, its government claimed on social media that the UN was responsible for delays in distribution. Let's take a step back to understand how aid even gets into Gaza and into people's hands. Israel has maintained a total blockade for years, with strict rules on what's allowed in. Food, water, and blankets do not require approval, but most other basics do. This is where aid agencies say things get murky. They say the process has been unpredictable, and if one thing on a truck gets rejected, Israel may turn away the whole truck. That means things like medicines, water filters, and sleeping bags have been turned away at checkpoints. A spokesperson for the Norwegian Refugee Council told the Post it's like nothing they've had to deal with before. Senator Chris Van Hollen from Maryland made a similar comment after his recent trip to Rafah, calling the approval process totally arbitrary.
It's been quite clear that the Netanyahu government, for a very long time, put up unnecessary restrictions to getting aid into Gaza and failed to properly make it safe to deliver that aid.
Which brings us back to all of that finger pointing happening this week. As Israel has increased the aid it's allowing into Gaza, it's calling on the UN to pick up and distribute aid faster within Gaza, saying the UN needs to do its job. The UN provides almost all of the food aid in Gaza at the moment. It and other aid agencies have told the Post it's Israel that controls their movements, when they can pick up aid, and the routes used to distribute it. And the destruction caused by Israel's offensive makes distribution difficult. Here's Andre De Domenico, the head of the UN Office for Humanitarian Affairs in the Palestinian Territories.
I was driving couple of weeks ago to the north of Gaza, and you have to do a slalom, not only between debris of cars and buildings smashed down and everything, but also piles of garbages. And in a few weeks, it will be very hot. I cannot even imagine what it means in terms of disease and sanitation. So it's much bigger than simply, you know, bringing in flour and bake a few loaves of bread or pita.
It was 1 year ago last April that a Kansas City teenager named Ralph Jarl made the mistake of ringing the wrong doorbell. He was 16 then and attempting to pick up his younger brothers from a friend's in the neighborhood. Jarl, who is Black, ended up on the wrong block on the front porch of then 84-year-old Andrew Lester, who is white. Within moments of opening the door, Lester fired multiple gunshots, hitting Jarl in the head and arm. Lester told police he was scared of the teenager. The shooting sparked protests around the country, with many worried that it was racially motivated. Jarl survived with a traumatic brain injury. And over the last year, he's worked to recover from that shooting, both physically and mentally. He spent some time with NBC News talking about it. The audio is a little tough to follow, but he says it's been an uphill battle.
I've tried to keep like a sort of sense of normalcy so that I can continue being the person that I am and that I used to be.
That sense of normalcy for Jarl means being a top-tier student and musician. At the time of the shooting, educators said he had a stellar GPA, even while taking mostly college-level classes. Now, Jarl says he struggles to study more than he used to and has suffered from debilitating headaches at times. Sometimes he can't sleep. Jarl did make the All-State band this year. He plays the bass clarinet, and he's preparing to graduate high school next month. But he wants justice for this shooting and for other acts of gun violence that have happened in Kansas City since then, like the shooting after the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, or one last month that happened outside of a high school basketball game. Jarl told NBC that these events continually remind him of his own shooting, and he feels a wave of anger. His mom, Cleo, implored people not to become desensitized to this violence.
We are tired of people saying that you're in my thoughts and prayers. We need to get out of your thoughts and your prayers and get into your actions.
As for justice in Jarl's case, Lester, the shooter, was charged with felony first-degree assault and armed criminal action. His trial is set for this coming fall. Finally, to a story that is mystifying NASA. A piece of space junk from the International Space Station recently tore through a home in Naples, Florida. It's a small piece of equipment that NASA intentionally released 3 years ago, assuming it would burn up in the Earth's atmosphere. That's what happens to most of the debris in space. But this piece, a 1.6-pound blob of metal, made it through somehow. It came crashing through the home of Alejandro Otero in March, punching a hole through his roof and two floors. His son was nearby when it hit, and Otero told CBS News about the shock of coming home to the wreckage.
I was shaken. I was completely in disbelief. What are the chances of something landing on my house with such force to cause so much damage? And totally, you know, I'm super grateful that nobody got hurt.
NASA says it will investigate how the metal managed to withstand the heat in the atmosphere, though no word on whether they'll help to patch up Otero's house. But Otero says space junk is now officially on his watch list of potential threats, along with hurricanes. You can find all these stories and more in the Apple News app. And if you're already listening in the News app right now, a narrated article is coming up next. Tomorrow, Taylor Swift plans to release her new album called The Tortured Poets Department. It's widely expected to chronicle her breakup with actor Joe Alwyn. And New York Magazine looks at a different kind of breakup, how strong feelings that people have about Swift have been ending friendships. If you're listening in the podcasts app, follow Apple News Plus Narrated to find that story. And I'll be back with the news tomorrow.